So you're working then as a legal clerk. How do you stumble across the Pacific Gas and Electric Company story? How does this come to you?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, I didn't even know the backstory at the beginning because the original plaintiff in that case, Roberta Walker, and there's an interesting story that's happening again with Roberta and PG&E. I'll get to that in a moment. But the PG&E had been hiding this groundwater contamination. Now, she just didn't want to move, and she started getting pretty suspicious about things that they were doing. And PG&E wanted her to move. They were going to buy her another house. And she has a good friend out there who's an architect that is friends with Karen Vitito, who's married to Jim Vitito, who's Ed Masry's partner. Jimmy had been in trial, so Karen gave Ed a call, and then Ed ended up calling Roberta back. And he happened to be out in an Oro Grande, which is an area near Hinckley, so he stopped by Roberta's. He thought he was doing something pro bono and a favor to the Vitito family.
Okay.
So Roberta gave him this box of documents. And if you saw in the film when he came in and he delivered that box of documents, that's really what happened. And he put it on my desk looking for another secretary to open a file, but she was at lunch and I wasn't. And so he left the box with me, and I really didn't know at the time what I was doing, but I wanted to do a good job. Ed was my boss, and I started reading files, and things just didn't seem right to me. There was medical records within that box, and I started looking at them, and they were easy to read because it was done in like a bar graph, and it'd say off to the left-hand side, you know, white count, red count, lymphocyte, all that stuff. And I could see it was off chart. It was really weird, and they were young girls, and so I began to get curious, and I just started unturning more stones. I asked Ed if I could go out to Hinckley. He let me. I met Roberta. I heard strange stories from her, strange stories from neighbors. I saw PG&E. It was just one of those things where one piece of the puzzle every single day started getting put together, and then you could kind of see a picture, and then you just took off from there. But it simply started with Ed bringing a box into my office. He thought it was a real estate transaction because it really was. That's all PG&E was trying to do, was buy Roberta Walker's house. And they were hiding something.
Just get her out of there, didn't they?
Yep. And go ahead.
They were dumping this chemical, hexavalent chromium, in the pipe system because what do they want to do, fight corrosion of the cooling tower?
Yeah, PG&E has, they push and pull natural gas from Texas through Arizona, coming into California. So they have a natural gas compressor station in Topoc, California, which is now contaminated with hexavalent chromium. That's another story we can get into, which has been well hidden for years. And then they push it to Hinckley, and then which is outside of Barstow, California. And then they push it from there up through Kettleman, which was an area that was also contaminated. We settled that lawsuit in 2006 for $335 million. And then they push it all the way north. And they have these huge piston engines that they act like the engine of your car. And if you don't put water through them, they'll cease to operate. And we all know that in machinery like that, water can rust and corrode. So they add chromium-6 as an anti-corrosion, anti-rust inhibitor. And it was my dad that was one of the first people that questioned me on that because he said that's a very antiquated system. He goes, are you sure they're cooling towers? And I said, I'm as sure as I can be based on the documents I'm reading. But that's what the hexavalent chromium was for. And then it generates all this wastewater, which they were just dumping into unlined ponds. And all of that hex chrome leached into the aquifer, and this entire community was on well water, and they were sucking up the contaminants.
Oh. And this was for years they were drinking
years.
This.
The 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And, you know, we always get into this argument about, you know, hexavalent chromium doesn't really have any maximum contaminant level set. We get tied up in the total chromium argument. We've come a long, long way since we first started that case scientifically and a long way since the film has come out. But Okay, let's see. I was getting ready to tell you a story, and my mind just, you know, just went another direction.
Well, you know, it was, we were talking about this chromium that they dump in there.
Right.
And they were doing it for all these many years. Did that community of Hinckley see higher rates of cancer?
Well, you know, again, you ask another really good question. You know, we're back out in Hinckley, California again. And that's because Roberta Walker called me not too long ago, and she moved. Everybody was out of the contaminated plume, so we thought.
Uh-oh.
She moved a good 5 miles away. Well, the plume broke through. And for about the past 10 years, it looks like PG&E's been, you know, playing that nutshell game and hiding information from the state, not being forthwith. And they knew that plume was on the move, and sure enough, it reached Roberta's house. And so we're back out in Hinckley representing maybe another 100 homes that have now been impacted and dealing with people with health effects. And I'm getting to the point where you were asking me about the increased cancer. For me, as a layperson, you know, I grew up in Kansas, and life was pretty free. And I just don't ever recall as a child hearing of classmates that had cancer, ever.
No.
I never recall going up and down the block and finding out that my parents' friend had cancer, and then my friend's parents across the street had cancer. But yet that's what I was seeing in Hinckley, and I thought that was very, very odd. Now, the cancer registry today will tell you that there's 196 cancers in Hinckley, and they would expect 221. Therefore, there's no risk. And here's why I've started working with Google and doing the mapping I'm doing, because I'm really concerned that there are some flaws and holes in our cancer reporting system, and here's why. If there's 196 people in Hinckley that have cancer, my first question is, are those cancers related to this exposure to a known cancer-causing compound? Well, nobody could answer that question. Two, have you looked into death records of those that died of cancer? And if so, have you added them to the 196? And most importantly, what about the people that moved? Let's just take 200 people move from Hinckley, and 100 of them have cancer.
That's right.
You add that to the 221, well, you clearly have exceeded what you expected, and you might have a cluster. But we never look at that, and we don't track people's movements. And that's something that I've started doing on my website with what we call the People's Reporting Registry. And I'm disturbed because I have 1,700 communities in the United States alone pointing out that they feel there's excess cancer in their communities, yet nobody is looking at it.
They're not tracking it, are they?
No, and you know, it's like a group came to me out of Middleton, Ohio, and a small town, and they're concerned because there's 59 people with glioblastomas, 59, which you expect to see 1 in 100,000, and their population under 100,000. But we don't look at that information, and I think that we should, because cancer seems to. I know we hear that cancer numbers are down, but people, one agency isn't talking to the other agency. And when people are diagnosed with cancer, they don't report it. Their doctor reports it. And then the information just kind of sits there, and nobody's really stitching anybody together. And that's been a phenomenon that I've watched that's kind of fascinating with Facebook, because I actually have groups of people who have lost track of each other, and they find each other because of Facebook, but they also find out that they have one thing in common. They all have cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they actually, you know, a group came to me of women that went to the same high school, and they didn't know that they all had cancer. So what I'm hopeful to do with Google here is to begin to really have people report it and be able to cross-reference that information and possibly find 25 people in the United States all reporting from different locations, but place them back to one spot. And
you know,
I think that we could run statistics and actually look at that, because if it is a source, and we're not cleaning it up, the solution will be to clean it up. And if we can begin to do that, I would hope that we could ease some of the cancer and or diseases that we are seeing on the rise here in the United States.